Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's sermon. Before we get into it, you know, I get messages and emails and often run into people all over the country and literally around the world that God is using this ministry to impact their lives. And I believe that's you as well. God's using this word to sow into your life and to bear fruit in a really great way. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to join us in our year-end offering called the Kingdom Builder Offering. This offering goes 100% to accelerating the vision of reaching people far from God so they'll become fully alive in Christ. And if you're a part of our extended online family, I want to challenge you to be a part of that offering, to pray about what God would have you to do as a part of this family. And I just believe that as we all get together, we'll see God do something miraculous, and we'll see the vision accelerated, people reached, lives changed, hope given into the lives of hopeless people. And so why don't you pray about what God would have you do and bring your very best offering to Him. You can do that online, you can do it through the app, but whatever way that you do it, I pray that you'll obey God in the process. And I'm confident of this. The Bible says that when we give, that God gives back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now let's go into today's message. I want to talk to you about how to manage what God has given you today. And I think you'll find this. I think you'll find that it'll apply to so much more than just your finances, that it'll apply to so much more. I think it's going to apply to your marriage. I think it's going to apply to your relationships. I think it's going to apply to things you're struggling with and dealing with in life. We're going to show you how we get into difficult situations, and I'm going to show you how we can get out of them today. Not just going to give you a little verse of encouragement, we'll give you a plan, all right? Give you a plan to get out. How many of you know this? That you're usually happy with what you have until someone else you see has something better. Come on. Be honest in the house of God today, right? Most of you loved your car until they come out with a new version, new model, right? Oh, now they got the new body style, right? Some of you, you were fine with the iPhone 10. Then the 11 came out and it's got 12,000 cameras on it, right? What is the back of that thing anyways? It's so weird looking. And so like you were good until something came out with something new. And this is what I know is this, is that when the new comes out, then that's the new thing that you want. And so you were content until they created something new, because when they created something new, what happened? The line moved, right? Like you were good with the house when you moved in it, but now it's like, oh, the line moved and maybe I need something different, right? You were good with the outfit. And then, by the way, this is winter white if you didn't know. Tammy told me this was winter white. I've never in my life worn anything but denim and black. It's winter white, babe. You proud of me? So, anyways, hey, if it'll gain me some points, I'll put whatever on. It's because the line keeps moving in our life, right? Like one thing satisfied us, then the line moved, and so something else. Now it takes more to satisfy us, and it happens because why? Because we end up comparing our life, and we just live in an age where comparison is so easy. Like all you gotta do is, and you were on vacation and you loved your vacation until you saw someone else Instagram their vacation, and you're like, well, mine stinks now. Like I'm not in the Caribbean. And it's just so easy to compare, and what happens is we lack contentment when we do, and the line keeps moving, and the line keeps moving, and the line keeps moving. And we just lack contentment. And so because we lack contentment, we need the next thing. And so what happens? We just chase happy. Because the next thing will make me happy. Well, this didn't, but the next thing will make me happy, or the next thing I can purchase will make me happy, or the next relationship. We do this in all areas of our life. Well, this relationship didn't make me happy, but maybe this one will make me happy. And here's just what I found, is that you can chase happy all you want, but whenever you get whatever it is you thought you would want, it's not going to give you the feeling you thought it would give you. Haggai talks about this. We're going to go to Haggai, y'all. I know this is where you do most of your devotional reading. You're like, who is Haggai? He's in the Bible, hanging out, doesn't get any love. Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. Most of us, when it comes to our resources, if it's bad, we just kind of want to ignore it, right? And the Bible's saying, no, you need to really think about this. And it's speaking in relation to our stuff, but it applies to so much other. It says, you've planted much, but you've harvested little. You ever felt like you've worked harder than ever and you have less than you've ever had? You eat, but you never have enough. You get the thing, but then it doesn't fulfill you. You buy the stuff, but it doesn't. You eat, but you never have enough. You never have your fill. You put on clothes, but they're not warm. They don't give you, I thought that name brand would do the thing. but it doesn't do it, right? And you keep going. The Bible says you earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. You got like pockets in your holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Think about this. Man, if this verse, if you were honest, and I'm not asking you to like raise your hand or anything, I don't want you to be embarrassed, is this, but this verse would describe the way some of you feel. You're like, man, I get to the end of the month and I've got more month than I do money. I feel like I got holes like in my pockets. Like, where is it all going? What is happening to it? I feel like I'm working harder than I've ever worked. I'm eating. I got more, but I don't feel full. I don't feel warmed. I got clothes, but I don't feel warm. In other words, I'm having more, receiving more, getting more, but I don't feel any fulfillment. There's no contentment in my life. There's no place where I feel like at peace in my life. I love what Billy Graham said. He said this, he said, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, give careful thought ways to this. Give careful thought to this, the Bible said, right? Billy Graham says, get your attitude toward it or the way you think about it straight. It will help straighten almost every other area of your life. And isn't this true? You know, the number one cause of stressor and divorce in marriages is money. You know, the number one stressor for people in their life is money. And here's what we think. If I could just get a little bit more of it, everything would be better. No, you have to change the way you think about it first, because your belief is what drives your behavior in every area of your life. If you change your belief, you can transform your behavior. Are you with me? And here's what happens when we have wrong thoughts about money. We end up running to things and we end up doing things and making choices that leave us in bondage. I know that's a strong word, but I don't know of another word to give to it other than that. It leaves us bound. It leaves us, let me say it this way, it leaves us handcuffed. Because what we do is, because we're not satisfied and the line keeps moving and we're comparing to what everybody else is doing, then I've just gotta have it, and I gotta have it right now. And so what happens is I go swipe a card. I go get a loan. And so I bring on this debt. I'm not saying that all debt is bad. I'm just saying when it handcuffs us from doing the things that God has called us to do, if God speaks to your heart and says, go do that mission, be generous to this person, give to that thing, and you're like, oh, I wish I could, but I'm so strapped, then that is called bondage. That's not called living in freedom, and freedom is the thing that God wants for you. But what we do now is we want it now, we want it fast, we want it immediately. So we put it on a payment plan, or we put it on credit card, and we're paying 20, if we're like most Americans, $16,000 of credit card debt at an APR of about 16%, which blows my mind. If the statistics are true, half of everyone attending today could not handle a $400 emergency, because we have no margin in our life, according to Forbes magazine, April 2018, if you need the issue. Because we're so strapped. I grew up in a day where you did a thing called layaway. Come on, somebody. Anybody know about layaway? Give a holy wave if you know about layaway. You need to Google it if you didn't wave your hand. I remember going to the Kmart. Ain't no Walmart. I'm getting a blue light special. Hello, somebody. Kmart. You go up in Kmart, you find something that you want. Want a TV, no flat screen. You wanted a box on the floor, UHF, VHF. Go to Montgomery Ward's. Going old school on you. Go to Montgomery Ward's. Get you a TV. Come on. But you put down some money, and then you would come back and pay a little bit every month. And then when you got it, guess what? It was paid for and brand new. You know what we do now? We swipe it. By the time we paid for it, we can't tell you where it is. We swipe it. By the time we paid it off, we've already eaten it. We swipe it. By the time we paid for it, we couldn't even show you where the pictures are of the vacation that we're still paying for 12 months later. And it's got us handcuffed. It's got us handcuffed to follow the call of God on our life. It's got us handcuffed to be generous. It's got us handcuffed to meet the needs of others. It's got us handcuffed to move when God says move and go when God says go. It's because we're handcuffed. And it's called bondage. And I want to get you out of it. I want to see you free. I want to see you free to become and do and follow everything that God wants you to do in your life and to fulfill the purpose of your life, right? And so I want to show us how we get there, because we can't get out if we don't know how we got there. And then I want to show us how to get out. And I want to do it against the story of the prodigal son. If you've been around church long, you've probably heard of this story. If not, it's a story that Jesus tells. And I want us to look at it. And I think from his story, we find out how you get yourself in these messes and then how you get yourself out. And listen to me, this applies to everything. Applies to so many areas. We find ourselves in a hopeless place. And then we're going to show you how to get out. And today you're going to leave and it can be different. I'm not saying all your bills will pay it off. I'm not one of those preachers. But I'm saying you can leave different and begin a different path today that'll lead you to the place of freedom that I believe you really, really want to live. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's look at this in Luke chapter 15. The Bible says, there was a man who had two sons. Somebody shout, two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he's divided his property between them. Now, time out real quick. For the son to come, this was really a slap in the face of the father. What he was saying to the dad is, I wish you were dead, and I want to live as if you were dead. So I want my inheritance now, and I want to live a life like you were not living anymore. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set out for a distant country, and he squandered his wealth in wild living. Wild living. Squandered his wealth in wild living. Remember that. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. Listen to me. There are going to come. I'm not declaring death over you. I'm just saying I know how life works, that there will come famine moments in your life, and if you spend everything that you make, then you will not be ready for the famine moments. Let me give you a famine. Your hot water heater bust. Hello, somebody. You're going to have tires for your car. Are you with me? Yes, you do have to buy books for college, and they do cost an ungodly amount of money, but they got a racket going on and no one can do anything about it. So you're gonna have to pay it anyways. All right, there's gonna come moments in your life where you need some margin. Are you with me? Dad, she is gonna get married one day, as much as you don't want her to, and you gotta pay for it. You gotta have some margin. So he went out and he hired himself out to a citizen of the country. So he went and got a job who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. So he goes from living in his dad's house with plenty to blowing all his money because he didn't make wise choices to now he's feeding pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. So now not only was he working with pigs, he wanted to eat their own food, but no one gave him anything. Somebody shout anything. I'm gonna give you four things that get us in, give you four things that get us out. If you're a note taker, you're gonna love today. If you're not a note taker, become one today and write these down, all right? Number one is we believe a lie. Anytime we head down a path that is destructive or unhealthy in our life, its origin is that we believe a lie. We believe a lie. This son believed a lie, and it was this, that he would be better off having his father's inheritance. He would be better off if his father was dead. And at the core of that, here's what he believed, that more was better. At the core of it, more was better. It's a pride thing to think, I'm be better, I want more, I should have more. Are you with me? But can I tell you something? Here's what more does. More only makes you more of what you already are. More only makes you more of what you already are. Here's what I tell people is this, is they're like, well, whenever I get more, then I'll start being a generous person. I'm like, no, you won't. If you can't give 10 out of 100, you're not gonna give 10,000 out of 100,000. I didn't expect today to be an Amen Sunday. But I do expect to get you free in this area of your life. More only makes you more of what you already are. The son was already unwise in his choices, so what did more make him? It just made him more of what he already was. Someone that would go blow the money and then end up with the pigs. More is not better. Pride says, I need more, I should have more, I deserve more, right? But no, more just makes you more of what you are. Maybe the answer isn't more. Maybe it isn't, well, I would not be in debt or I'd get out of this if only I had more. Maybe the answer isn't that. Maybe the answer is that something has to change on the inside of me. Can I tell you something? The lie always, and the enemy always sells you a lie. Go back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. What did he do? He sold them a lie. It's the first thing he did was sold them a lie, right? And some of you, God is the enemy is selling you a lie right now. Well, just kind of a little bit of flirting with the lady at the office that isn't my wife isn't that big of a deal. It's a lie. It's just a lie, just a little lie, right? Not gonna hurt anybody. It's not gonna really hurt anybody. No, it would lead to very destructive places. The Bible says this about our pride. It says that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. That whenever we think, no, I can do this myself, I don't need anybody, just more, it'll be better if I could get more, if I could have more, that no, it leads to a destructive place. And so the enemy wants to sell you a lie. Can I tell you something? He wants nothing good for your life. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full. The enemy wants to take the life out of you. God wants to put the life into you. So I would just ask you to evaluate. It's up to you to evaluate your situation. And when you evaluate the financial situation you're in, does it feel like life coming out of you? Or does it feel like life being breathed into you? If it feels like life coming out of you, if you don't look at it and go, man, this is amazing. Look how good God is. Look how much joy I have in this area of my life. If that isn't the response, then I would just say, what are you believing? Because belief drives behavior. What are you believing? What lie are you receiving? So we end up believing a lie. Number two is that we engage in self-destructive behavior. I know this feels like, wow, we're really going downhill in the joy. Like you started up here, like, oh, praise the Father. And then it went down from here. Like, we're gonna lift this in a minute, all right? We're in a downward spiral because some of us, our financial picture, it's in a downward, but we're gonna lift it in a minute, okay? I'm gonna get encouraging in a moment. Here's what I want you to notice about this son's story. No one robbed him. No one took his money. He made the choice. He made the choice. He made the self-destructive behavior. Can I tell you something? You can't blame everybody else. You got to stop the blame game. Well, my mom and dad didn't teach me how to steward stuff. Well, there's enough podcast books and YouTube channels to teach you how to. It's the government's fault if they didn't take so much taxes out of my thing. It's my work's fault. It's this person's fault. It's my spouse's fault. Stop pointing fingers everywhere else and just understand that we move into self-destructive behaviors because we make choices. He blew his money in wild living. And some of us, we may not consider it wild living, but we do the same thing. We blow money, we blow opportunity, we blow resources. Are you following me? And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But if it puts you in handcuffs to do what God has called you to do, it is a big deal. And self-destructive behavior could look like this. It could look like Starbucks every morning of the week. If you don't have the margin to do it. Does it make it bad? No, I had one this morning. I go often enough that whenever I pull up and they see my car, they're like, you want the Americano again? I say, yes, decaf, please. I don't drink caffeine. Because I got the Holy Ghost. I'm kidding, I'm joking. So dumb. No, I get bad headaches, so I just quit it. I'm just saying, if it chains you up, it's self-destructive. And no one's forcing you to do it. No one's forcing you to do it. Look what the Bible says about this. It says, there's a way that looks harmless. And this is strong language in the message. But look again, because it leads straight to hell. I didn't say that's the Bible. But it looks harmless. We'll just charge it. I'll pay it off with the tax return. Looks harmless. Some of you are like, you reading my mail? Were y'all in my house? What if you took that tax return and instead of paying off 16% interest rate, you invested it about 8% over the lifetime of, I'm just saying, are you following me? Just looks harmless. Just looks harmless at the surface. But look again, because it leads to destructive places. Number three is the enemy knows if he can sell us a lie and we have self-destructive behavior, then we will isolate ourselves from people that can help us. This is why you need to be in a small group. This is why we preach all the time, get into a small group, be a part of a small group. Why? Because I know this, that when the enemy sells you a lie and you behave according to the lie, then shame and guilt overwhelm you. And when shame and guilt overwhelm you, you begin to isolate yourself, not only from people, but you'll begin to do it from God. Like you really can avoid God, but you'll begin to try to isolate yourself from God and go, God's ashamed of me. No. God is wanting you to come to him, but we isolate ourselves from people. I can do it by myself. I can take care of myself. I don't need anybody. I'm a self-built man. No, you need people in your life to keep you from self-destructive behavior. You need community. You need small group. You need relationships. Are you with me? Some of the godliest conversations that could happen in your life could be you going, well, they came out with a new model of my car. I think I'm gonna buy it. The most godly conversation could be this. You really think you ought to do that? You really think you ought to take out that loan? Do you ought to think that you should be slave to the lender? Are you, this is too much. Are you following me? I'm not saying all debt is bad. I'm just saying when we get chained, when it keeps you from doing what God has called you to do, then it is not good and it is not helpful. So we isolate ourselves from other people. The Bible says, whoever isolates himself seeks out his own desires. Sometimes we avoid relationship because we just want to do what we want to do. That's what the Bible's saying. He breaks out against all sound judgment. You break out against wisdom. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. You need some people around you that'll speak wisdom into your life. Number four is once we isolate, then we find ourselves feeling trapped. Listen to what scripture says. You said, you made my friends to loathe me and they have gone away. I am in a trap with no way out. This is how the psalmist feels. He feels like he's in this trap and that there is no way to get free from the trap. And listen to me, every location, this is where some of you are today. You feel like you are so trapped that you'll never get out of the mountain that you've created. I'm just telling you, there's hope. You know, when I was 17, I went to college. And my first semester of college on the day whenever everybody's moving in and all the festivities and stuff, these credit cards companies thought it'd be brilliant to set up stands, come on somebody, for a bunch of freshmen whose brain hasn't fully developed yet. Really good marketing scheme. And they're giving away a free t-shirt. I was like, I could use a t-shirt. I haven't washed the ones mom sent with me. I could use a free t-shirt. So I filled out the credit card statement, and I got the credit card. And so I was like, look at this, because I needed a credit card to build credit. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why did I need credit at 17? I'm not going to buy a house. Anyways, so thought I'd fill it. So I got this credit card, And so then, I was a music major when I first went to college. And so I was in my theory class and banging my head against the wall on that. And then I was taking all my music classes and then my other classes and all this. And I was taking piano because that was going to be my instrument of choice. And so I thought, I need a keyboard with MIDI stuff on it. Electronics. I didn't know what it all was, but all the cool people where I went to school had it. So I was like, I need one of those. I don't want it. I need it. I need it for my education. So I walked up in the First American Bank off McGavick Pike, Nashville, Tennessee. Walked in there, sat down, got me a loan. All by myself. I don't know what they were thinking. I just turned 18. I was 18 like a week. Walked up in there, got me a $1,500 loan for my keyboard that I needed. It would pay itself off one day. My career, right? I mean, think about this with me. You're laughing because you've said this. Well, if we buy it now, it'll pay for itself. I've never bought a piece of equipment that went to work, earned a paycheck, deposited in my account, and paid for itself. It's never happened. Never had a car pay for itself. Never had nothing pay for itself. I got kids, they ain't paid for themselves yet. And they're human. I remember that feeling of like, oh my goodness, this mountain of debt. And my job at that time was part-time valeting cars at the Lowe's Vanderbilt Hotel on West End. That's what I was depending on. And so when I had to make the loan payment because the bank would come, so guess what? If I ran out of money, I had a credit card. Brilliant plan, right? So when I needed pizza at midnight from Papa John's delivered to my dorm room, hello, I could pay 17% interest rate on that pizza because I had a credit card. And it's kind of funny because it's not really funny because it's reality for a whole lot of people. And you feel trapped. And you feel like there's no way out. And you feel like this mountain that I've created, if anybody knew, I would be so embarrassed. And you think God doesn't know. And you think God's not interested in helping you. And I want to show you that's not true. But I just want you to know you're not trapped. There is a way out. There is a way out. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying that you're going to put a dollar in the offering basket today and God's going to cancel your debt. Not going to happen. But I'm saying if you start stewarding your money wisely, if you start honoring God, if you get around some people and open up, then you can have the destiny that you want. You can have the future that you want. I'm telling you, I'm living proof that you can not live under the burden of debt and not be bound, but you can be free to be generous on any and every occasion that God calls you to do. I want to give you a little bit of encouragement before we show you how to get out. I love this verse from Psalm 34. It says, the Lord is near to those who are discouraged. So if you're discouraged, if you're like, I came here to get joy and you have discouraged the mess out of me, I'm just bringing God near. And he sees those who have lost all hope. And maybe you feel like financially you've lost all hope. And maybe it's not even finances. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe it's in some choices you've made that you're like, I'll never undo what I've done. I'm just telling you, there is hope. God sees you. God is near to you. And so I want to show you how to get out. Number one is this. Let me show you what the story, I'm sorry. It says, he came to his senses, the son, and he said, how many of my father's hired men, they have food and I'm starving to death. So he thought this, I'll go back and I'll say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and against you and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up, he went to his father. And when he was a long way off, it said his father was filled with compassion. I just want you to know this represents the heart of our God. That even when he was a long way off, he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to him, threw his arms around him, and he kissed him. And the son said the speech he had prepared for him. And the text goes on to tell us that he said, no, stop, basically stop. We're going to throw a party, get him a robe, get him a ring. My son who was lost is now found. He's moving in the house. He's not living out in the hired quarters. I'm just telling you, if you'll run to God today with your mess, he's ready to embrace you. So number one, what do you got to do? You got to own where you are. You got to own where you are. You got to own it. Like, it's not everybody else's fault. I got here. All by myself. I'm in debt. All by myself. Right? You got to own where you are. You got to own it. You just got to say, yeah, this is the facts. Some of us want to ignore it. Some of us, we kind of have an idea where we're at, but we couldn't tell you dollars and cents where we're at because we think ignoring it will make it go away. You got some of the, one of the most spiritual things you can do maybe is go home, open up Excel, get out a notebook and know exactly where you are. This is faith. It's like Jim Collins in his book, Good to Great. He says, face the facts without losing heart. Some of you, the best thing you can do today is just go home, face the facts. Own where you are. The Bible says this, I've been out of step with you for a long time. This is Psalms 51. It's a psalm of repentance. The word repentance isn't like maybe somebody yelling at you on a street corner, repent, you know, you're going to hell. Repent means I was walking this way. I'm gonna make a 180 degree turn. It really means change of mind is the literal. I'm gonna move directions. And what he's saying is I've been going my own way for a long time and I've been wrong since before I was born. What you're after is truth. In other words, God isn't expecting perfection. He wants honesty. He just wants you to go, I'm just going to be honest about where I'm at. You can't move forward till you're honest about where you currently are. So you have to get honest. You have to own where you're at. I love this. He says, when I kept it all inside, this is what will happen. My bones turned to powder. My words became day-long groans. He said, then I let it out. In other words, I owned where I was at. I'll make clean of my failures to God. He said, suddenly the pressure was gone. You want the pressure to be gone today? I'm not saying it'll be a wonderful news, but you want the pressure to be gone? Then you're just gonna have to get honest about where you're at. Some of you, husband and wife, the best thing you could do, put the kids to bed tonight, get together and go, here's where we're at. And we both did it. We're not playing blame game. Can't change the past. Let's move forward. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. But you keep it in, he says your bones will turn to powder. The pressure, you're not meant to live that way. God says, own where you're at. All he wants is truth, just honesty, not perfection, just honesty. Number two, then develop a plan of attack. Told you, I just want to inspire you. I want to give you like tools. Develop a plan of attack. Know how you're going to get there. Know how you get there. The Bible says this. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge. In other words, they turn, but the simple keep going and they suffer for it. In other words, if you don't like what you see in the future on the road you're on, then take a different road. And the way you get a different road is to get a different plan. So develop a plan of attack. Let me give you a real quick, easy plan. I'll give you step one. You ready? Wait, I know you're on the edge of your seat. Just give it to us, Pastor, give it. Don't get any more debt. Step one. All right, step two, make some margin in your life. You may have to cut some things out that you currently do. You may have to sell the car. You don't need a $700 car payment if it's creating chains for you. If you can have that and live free, then go for it. If you can have that and be generous, then go for it. I don't care what you drive. Create some margin and then create a plan to attack the debt and get it out of your life. Are you with me? Create a plan of attack. I love this. My pastor has this hanging in his office. Says this. Debt is bad, saving is good, giving is fun, and stuff is meaningless. Debt is bad, saving is good, giving is fun. Can I tell you something? It's so much fun. When you have the margin in your life to be generous, and I'm not just talking about returning the tithe to God and through the local church, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you can see someone that has a need and you're like, I think I'll take care of that. Or even when you can see someone that you hear them talk about something they've always dreamed about having and you're like, I'm gonna make that happen. Physiologically, it releases a chemical that makes it fun. Like God made your body that way. And stuff really is meaningless. It's not bad to have stuff. I like stuff. Just don't like stuff to have me. I want to be the master. I don't want stuff to be the master over me. Because at the end of the day, I can't take it with me. It really is meaningless. So create a plan. Maybe some of you need to print that out and like put that in your mirror or wherever you do your books or maybe in your wallet. So every time you open your wallet, you're like, debt is bad, saving is good, giving is fun, stuff is meaningless. Number three is do it now. Not like tomorrow. Not January. You did that last January. Come on, let's be real. Set new financial goals. No, do it today. Today, go home, make the plan today. We're gonna start living the plan today. Gonna do it tomorrow, gonna do it the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day, the next day. Do it now. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Don't wait till January. You did that last January and you're still in the same place you were. Start now. Today is the day to begin making some different choices. Today is the day to find some people that can help you. Maybe you're like, I have no idea. No one ever trained me. Well, connect with your small group leader. Connect with somebody on your team. Guess what? We have financial small groups that help you walk through and teach you. Get on YouTube. Go to Dave Ramsey. I mean, there's all kinds of resources out there that can help you begin taking some steps. Educate yourself. Do it now. Today. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day. Don't put it off till another day. And then finally, humbly ask your Father for help. I love this verse. This is a good verse. It's good for every area of your life. God opposes the proud. Listen to this. Great, great promise. He shows favor to the humble. That doesn't even cost you anything. You didn't even have to spend anything to get the favor of God. All you had to do was humble yourself. What a great promise. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he will lift you up in due time. Listen to this. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares about you. He's not mad at you. God's not mad at you because you maybe find yourself in a hopeless place financially, relationally. Maybe something you're dealing with that no one else knows. God's not mad at you. God just says, I want you to come to me and just be honest with me. I just want you to be honest. Truth from the inside out is all I've ever wanted from you. Just honesty. Just come. God, I've blown it. God, I've taken the resources you give me and I've made a mess with it. God, I'm sorry. God, I need your help. I cast it on you. I'm going to do a different way. I'm going to create a different plan. I'm going to follow a different strategy, God. And I'm telling you, you make that decision now, 3 months from now, it'll be different in your life. 6 months from now, it'll be different. Like a year from now, next October, you'll look back on this day, October 13th, a year from now and go, my life is different. I got more joy. I got more peace. I got more margin. I've been able to bless people. Why? Just because I got out. You may have to dig your way out. I had to. Started valeting, not just at the hotel. Started valeting at the Natural Country Club. Started valeting at another restaurant. Started valeting at another restaurant. It's going to school, working my tail off. But I dug my way out. God helped me. Are you with me? Now I'm able to give on a level I've never given. And margin and Sally Mae isn't my friend anymore. Come on, somebody. Some of you, you've had school loans so long, they're like a family pet. Get rid of them. Get out from under it. God's got plans for you, purpose for you. Doesn't want you living handcuffed. Don't believe the lie. Don't live like everybody else. Because if it's true that half of Americans or more are living handcuffed, I don't want to be like everybody else. I want to be different. I want to be odd. I want to be blessed. I want to be prosperous. I want to have margin. I want to have fun giving. I want to live with an eternal perspective. Do you receive the word today? Come on, you receive it. If you found today's message helpful, feel free to rate, review, or even share it with a friend. Also want to encourage you to think about partnering with us. You know, together through your giving, we can take this message around the world and make a difference in the lives of so many people.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you would like to partner with us, you can do so by clicking the link in the description, visiting lifepoint.org/give, or via text messaging on your mobile device. Just text the dollar amount of your gift and keyword LifePoint to 45777. Thank you for your generosity. We can do so much more together than we ever could apart.